Fox Sports analyst and Hall of Famer Tim Brando joins us to discuss, as Texas A&M athletics and football cursed, the new rule that could be instituted if a player signs to play in a certain conference. And did we have the same level of beef with sportscasters back in his day as we do now? All that and more on this edition, Crane & Cup. We always love to welcome our guests, and we try and treat them all equally. But let's be honest. There's some that we like better than others. I mean, I'm not asking you to pick kids right here. This is just guests on a sports show. And as usual, one of our favorites, the Hall of Famer, the legend, the lefty with that sweet swing there on the golf course, our buddy Tim Brando. Timmy B, what's up, dog? What's up?
Blaine, my man. Oh, and you too. You too. Jake. Yeah, you too, Jake. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You see, Cone's not here today, so unfortunately, you know, God has presented you with a big problem. That's that you only have to deal with both of us, which I don't envy. No. How our parents didn't go insane. It always shocks me.
I'm surprised you didn't ask me to be a co-host on the entire show today.
Tim, I tried.
Yeah,
I tried.
He did.
Jake shot it down.
Definitely.
You know, the world only needs so much of me. I think we've already determined that. So just to have me for a segment. Just keep your audience wanting more, Jake. That's what you have to do.
You got to give them that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You got to keep them coming back to the well, especially when we're not even in June yet. But Timmy, that doesn't mean there's nothing going on. There's a bunch going on. I want to ask you about Texas A&M in a second, because we haven't talked about them in a while, and I think they're a very interesting case study. But first, I want to ask you about this report that Ross Dellinger came out with, and it's something that, unless I'm just losing my mind, me and you have talked about on this show before when he came out and put out the tweet that said, well, they're looking at having some sort of affiliations paper from these power conferences that is given to a player that says, if you decide to come play in our conference at this level, in this institution, and I'll just read the tweet. So he said, in a stunning move, the power conferences have drafted a contract that would bind schools to a new enforcement rules and require them to waive the right to sue over decisions, sources tell Yahoo Sports. Schools not signing may be at risk of getting evicted from the conference, which is basically saying that if the player decides to go to this school, that the player and the school understand that they are signing up to play within these guardrails and these rules. And we can argue about the rules. We can do that. But is this not something that we've been saying for the last 2 years, not to oversimplify, it needs to happen? And I think it could clean a lot of stuff up.
Yeah, and you know, one of the reasons why you're never going to be credited, nor am I, and it's not like we need to be credited, but over the last 30 plus years, so many of the things I've said about college football that needed to be repaired have been addressed to some extent, okay? We're just mouthpieces. That's what we are. And mouthpieces are either respected or not respected by those that have the power to do it. And so it's not about getting credit. I will say this, Ross is probably been, I think, among the guys that are writing today about college football. When something's breaking in real time about these issues,
he's been the one
that's been on top of it.
Yeah. So Timmy B, this is something that we've been talking about for a while that would, you know, in essence, kind of clean everything up or at least make people understand that they're signing in to adhere to the rules and these guidelines, whatever they may be. And I hope they're right. I hope, you know, this enforcement wing is great that they set up and everything like that. But is this the best way to go about trying to take the wild out of the wild, wild west of college athletics right now? Is this feasible, you think?
Without a doubt. And let me say this about Ross Dellinger, who is among all the scribes out there that cover college football. And most of them are not really happy having to cover this. And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not exactly what they signed up for, that they would have to be court reporters and go to attorneys to get legalese to finish off potential articles that they're putting together that we get, no matter where you get them, whether it's at Yahoo, who's outstanding, or if you go to The Athletic or you know, whatever website you go to, to pick up these types of stories that are out there. He's been, I think, a go-to guy, but this is something. Listen, we're not guys like you and me. We're not looking for credit, but we are mouthpieces, and our opinions are given all the time. And while none of the people that are involved ever necessarily want to say we have influence, I think we do from time to time. Mm-hmm. And through the years, especially when it comes to college football's postseason, a lot of the things that I suggested needed to take place have. But to me, it was like it wasn't as if I was breaking any kind of code or I knew more than anybody else. It was just made sense. Common sense moves had to be done, and now they have been. The reality is some of this is easy because it's common sense. And over time, because of the circumstances these leagues are finding themselves in, and because they don't have right now the kind of support that's necessary to get massive nationalized rules in place, and I feel for them in that sense that they don't. I think maybe ultimately they will. But if you don't right now, the one thing you can do is as a conference or conferences, you can come up with what you believe if you're going to participate at our level of play, what we need to establish the guardrails that, you know, our coaches need, our departments of athletics among the member institutions need. So I get it. I mean, I do. This is a step in the right direction. Now, how many of the schools within the conferences follow suit and say, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to play ball. I think without question in the major conferences, you know, Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey are going to get every one of those schools if they both adopt this to move along. And I think the other conference commissioners would more than likely be able to get the same thing done. And by the way, if the school for whatever reason decides not to do it, then they probably don't belong in the big leagues anyway.
Yeah, well, I've seen, yeah, really Timmy don't. B, I, you know, you look at what they just did in the state I'm in right now, in the state of Tennessee, there's been some pushback from the University of Tennessee about this, saying, well, you know, this may not be something that we want to do because we can kind of operate differently now that we have this law or bill or whatever's going on over here. Mm-hmm. So I'm very interested to see, because it's not like Tennessee's going to be like, you know what, we're not going to play in the power conference. No. There's no way that's going to happen. So they don't have all the leverage. I just think it's a really good idea. I wish everybody would sign up to it and agree to it once we have some rules chiseled out that we feel good about. But I do, because I feel like every offseason, at least once, I've got to ask you about Texas A&M, right? And you are one of the things I love the most about you, Timmy B, is that you are honest and you call it how you see it, right? So Texas A&M, after what we just seen happen in softball, and then this year in baseball when they're preseason number one, and we know about the football situation and waiting to break through, and then in basketball, you have a good year, make a little run in the tournament, and you lose Buzz Williams to Maryland.
He's out of here, yeah.
I just want to ask you straight up, Timmy B, is Texas A&M athletics cursed? Are they cursed?
Well, until they get some stability at the athletic director's position, they may well be. I mean, you know, you got guys in and out of there that are utilizing. If the athletic director is using the school as a stepping stone, then more than likely coaches, whether they like it or not, are going to be forced into it. And that's what's happened in the last few years at Texas A&M. They get Ole Miss's guy, and then the Ole Miss guy goes to A&M, and then he says, oh, wait a minute. Those oil barons don't have nearly as much money as they have in Columbus, Ohio. I think I'll go there. Well, by the way, I like him. I liked him when he was at Ole Miss. He's a good athletic director, but he was replacing a legend at Ohio State. And Gene was one of the real he was one of the real movers and shakers among leaders in college athletics. Whether you liked him or you didn't like him, he was. And so that was a job he really had to take. And so whenever you have that happen, coaches are immediately like, whoa, hello, the guy that hired me is gone. So, and that's just the nature of the beast right now, fellas. Every president, every athletic director wants their guy. They want their guy. And if I guarantee you that's why Buzz got out, it's not because he couldn't do it there, but Buzz sort of was on the, I mean, he was on record long before he got to A&M that by year seven, year eight, if you haven't gotten to the Elite Eight or the Final Four, then you need to get out of there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because that's how fans are. They get tired of your rhetoric if you've not gotten to a certain point. And so I think that this is a matter for, I think, the oil barons, the big donors to come to grips with. These people that came up with all that money for Jimbo, remember, I mean, all that money to get him the hell out of there, right? They still don't have what they want.
Yeah.
And the MO becomes, well, if they don't get championships right away, I mean, A&M, when it got into the SEC, whether their people want to admit to this or not, they morphed into the very thing they hated about Texas. A&M became a Texas. They really did, because they had all of this pomp and circumstance and their chests, you know, that saying on the streets, he's swole. They were all swole, okay, because they were in the SEC and Texas wasn't. Okay, now look what's happened. You know, the Horns come into the league and they look poised to get to the promised land before A&M does. And that's sad for those people to come to grips with, knowing how much money they've already spent, and they can't keep ADs and they can't keep head coaches. And I think that the view on the streets among head basketball coaches and head football coaches is that as much as you get at A&M, and you get a lot, they have no patience there.
Yeah. And no patience. So they're basically saying it's not worth it, right?
You got a wandering eye, because now you can get big money no matter where you coach. You don't have to go to a school that has so much more than the other school to get big money as a coach. I mean, there was a time, I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, Jake. There was a time when a school like Ole Miss would never be able to compete with Auburn if they really wanted your head football coach.
True.
Yeah. Well, they held on to Lane Kiffin, didn't they? So times have changed. And if you've got an opportunity to be in charge of, and you can say to yourself, all right, I don't have to worry about meeting their expectations because this is all about my program and what I'm building. And if I do well enough, they're going to build a statue for me here, but I would still be maybe not statue worthy there, meaning A&M. You know, they've got their legends. They've got their history. They've got their tradition. But, you know, the thing that they really don't have a lot of, championships.
Yeah.
Texas A&M has never had a lot of championships, no matter what league they played in.
And I've got a very, I think, interesting answer for you. But before we do that, I'd be remiss. We don't bring in somebody who's had a lot to say as well.
You don't want me to
about A&M. I want to ask you: is Texas A&M cursed?
Yes, they're cursed, and we know why they're cursed. It's pretty easy to see. Like it's not. It doesn't take a physicist or Bill Nye, the fake science guy, to come in here and figure it out. Okay, stop. You're trying to get me in trouble with this question, is what you're trying to do. You got to stop having guys in overalls dancing on the sidelines.
That's the curse.
That's the curse. It's right in front of you.
So if they just eliminate that today,
you're making the playoffs. You're making the playoffs. I would pick A&M to make the playoffs if they got those guys out of overalls on the sidelines.
I knew you were going to say that, but I just once again wanted to get you.
I could say something worse.
I know you could say something much worse, and I'm really actually glad that you didn't.
Okay.
Kimmy B, here's my response.
You guys are really piling on A&M now. I'm wondering if it has something to do with the timing of Schlossnagel and what happened with
I'm not going to pile on him, Kimmy B. I'm about to defend him.
They're over in Hoover with their heads hanging now, trying to bounce back, stay alive in the double.
It's like that. Look, and we can cut this if we need to cut this. But it's like that one episode of Law and Order when he's talking to that guy. He's like, I have relationships with women, but I have sex with guys. You're still guys. It is.
Okay, I'm gonna defend. I don't even know how to respond to that with a rational answer. But Timmy, here's what I think. In order to believe in curses, You have to also believe that curses can be broken, right?
Correct.
Right? You have to believe that can be broken.
Correct.
All right, and it's funny because all I heard was about how cursed Auburn was in athletics and in sports for so long, and then finally, you win the national championship in 2010. You go back to another one in 2013. I heard growing up how cursed the Red Sox were and how cursed the Cubs were. And I remember Steve Bartman reaching up and catching that foul ball from Moises Alou. Yeah. But what happened? Yeah. The curses have been broken. And I think, because in football, it's a little bit different. If we're going to say cursed in the smaller sports, I think that means you haven't won a national championship. Baseball, right? Softball, right? College basketball, men's college basketball, we can have an argument making the Final Four takes you off the curse, right? Mm-hmm. College football, will you consider A&M off the schneid just if they make the first round of the playoff? Like, does that get you, in your opinion, does that get you off the curse or no?
No.
No, so you're saying you got to win it. I'm not
saying you got to win it. I'm not saying you got
to
win it.
Or get to the semifinals. What about that?
You got to be in the top four. Yeah, you got to be.
Top four.
I'm going to say this right now. You know, you got to have two wins in the postseason.
Two wins in the playoff. Oh, we can put it that mark. I agree with you.
All right.
In the next 3 to 5 years, 3 to 5,
right?
Texas A&M will make the college football playoff semifinal with Mike Elko. And probably Marcel Reed, his last
won't happen.
But you better hang on to Elko.
Yeah.
All right. And that could be problematic with as many changes as they make, and they've made a bunch. Okay, if you lose your guy, because I mean, if an AD comes in, a new AD comes in, or a new president, that's the other thing. All right, I mean, not much has been made of it. Okay, but neighboring LSU, a big rivalry, they just announced this week that the president of the university is on his way out. He's leaving for Rutgers, by the way, William Tate. And by the way, good riddance to him, in my opinion. I think LSU's going to be better off without him. They should have had another guy that I believe should have been the president that was considered, Jim Henderson, that's now over at Louisiana Tech. They should have hired him, in my opinion. But Tate had an agenda, and they're moving him out. A lot of this is politically motivated. That always is. All presidents' jobs at major institutions are politically motivated. They are.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that's where sports and politics definitely swims in the same cesspool in intercollegiate athletics. And if these coaches and the ADs are not the idea of that president, then everybody's got a head on a swivel. And politics in Louisiana is not unlike Tennessee, where there's a hell of a lot of politics in Tennessee, as you know. But in the state of Texas, and particularly at UT and at A&M, it's off the charts political. So that's what makes trying to get there so much more problematic, in my view, for a place like Texas A&M. And the fan base is wealthy and whack. And when you got a fan base that's wealthy and whack, that makes it even harder. Okay. Yeah. And I know they people hate hearing me say that, but it's true. It makes it a more toxic environment for whatever coach we're talking about. I think the Elko hire was tremendous. He will, if he is in place in those 3 to 5 years you're talking about, I'm absolutely in lockstep with you.
Love it.
But I don't know that the school, okay, can remain stable enough ahead of him, above him, to keep him from looking elsewhere. That would be my caveat to it.
Starting this podcast felt overwhelming at first. Scripts, setup, filming schedule, logos, we were trying to figure everything out. It's tough because when you're launching something new, your to-do list grows daily, threatening to take over your life. But finding a tool that both helps and simplifies can be an absolute game changer. And for millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. You see, Shopify powers millions of those businesses worldwide and 10%, that's right, 10% of all U.S. e-commerce. And Shopify, they're behind everyone from big names like Gymshark to that new brand you've just discovered. Because starting out is simple. Just pick one of their hundreds of templates and customize it to match your style. No design skills needed. And creating content, well, that's where their AI really shines. You need product descriptions or catchy headlines? Done. Want better product photos? They've got you covered. But the best part is how easy e-marketing becomes. You can reach your customers wherever they are, whether they're scrolling through social media or checking their email. Because behind the scenes, Shopify handles everything else, inventory, shipping, returns, all those details that you don't want to worry about. Because the truth is, if you're ready to sell something, Shopify is ready for you. So turn your big business idea into a lot of money with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period and start selling today at shopify.com/crane. That's shopify.com/crain. One more time, that's shopify.com/crane.
Caught Texas A&M, just caught some strays today. I absolutely love it. Tammy, I don't know if you saw, but Matt Rhule just got asked about college football playoff being expanded. And he said, The more spots, the better. Man, let's put 40 teams in there and let's go. It's amazing you put 40 teams in there. Nebraska still doesn't make it. We'll see what it goes to next time. But I want to kind of see your thoughts on that response by Coach Rhule.
Well, you know, I'm sure it was a flippant response. And a lot of coaches are saying that in this day and time, and I get that. They're just – I think they're tired of being asked about it to some extent because it's the ever-present question that we never get rid of because we're in such a state of flux. I'm glad that at least it's being discussed as opposed to everything else that's being discussed about football right now, which has nothing to do with the game itself or the playoff itself. I was just asked this earlier in the week about the postseason and should we have it, the national championship at one site again. In other words, some, including my colleague Joel Cloud, have indicated that Pasadena ought to have the national championship every year. I don't believe that's physically possible because there's too much money in the bureaucracy of the postseason with Miami, with Atlanta, with Dallas, with New Orleans, and those bowl games that have been pumping money and a lot of revenue into the college football postseason since really the beginning of time when you think about it. So I don't think it would ever go to just one location. But I do think in keeping history and tradition alive, this conversation about having it at one spot usually is centered around Pasadena and the Rose Bowl, you know, and the sunset over the St. Gabriel's and all that. We don't need to worry about one location, okay? What we need to worry about is getting that location for the national championship game to be at or right on New Year's Day, okay? Yeah. It's got to be moved up. The college 100%. Football season has got to be moved up. And if that means that Sankey and Petitti need to be leading the charge on this, so be it. You can't wait on anybody else right now. The NCAA, Baker continues to make a fool out of himself. We're not going to govern anything. We're not going to look at anything anymore. You know what? Good. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, NCAA. We don't want you anyway. But those that are in governance that know what we need, even before we get any congressional input or some council, which I think is more of a circus conversation piece than anything else for the time being, making any decisions. We need to get the season moved up to a start on August the 10th, not August the 24th. And we need the postseason to be ending at or near January 1. Doesn't have to be right on January 1, but we got to stop diluting January 1. And we've got to put emphasis on finishing it before the NFL gets into its wild card division games and its divisional playoff games. You can't do that. They're coming to television networks right now, fellas, and saying, we need more money. Well, right now, the only network willing to continue to lose mammoth amounts of money is the worldwide leader. You're not going to get many takers besides ESPN if this thing is going to go all the way till the end of January like it did before. That's just not smart.
Yeah.
That is not smart. But if you got it closer to the first of the year, then and only then if you need more money, could you potentially, with 16 teams, have multiple networks involved? But right now, it's a loss leader for television networks. And, ESPN, to their credit, is paying a boatload of money, but they're also losing. I don't know how they do it. I mean, it's those ears of Disney have a lot of cash flow, man. A lot of cash flow.
They're bigger than rich.
Because, they they've lost their rear end on the NBA, and they're losing their rear end with the post, so much so that they, you know, subleased those games in the first round to Turner because, well, Turner lost the NBA and was desperate to keep its cable rights fees going. So they, oh yeah, we'll take your game and we'll even take your announcers. Just bring it over here. Yeah. But how many people do you know still talk about that SMU Penn State game that was on TNT? Not many people saw that.
I agree.
Game.
I mean, let's be honest about Disney. They can't even do Snow White right anymore. So like, I don't. Let alone
that's
the sports
not good
side
for the game. We got to get college football's calendar straight.
Yeah.
Okay, for college football to flourish the way we want it to flourish.
And the people who agree with you the most are the actual coaches, believe it or not. I do find it funny, however, that it's always the teams that haven't been in the playoff that really want to keep expanding the playoff, or at least those coaches. Yeah. Like, either Kirby Smart and them are just like, I don't care. Like, Matt Rule's like, 40? How about 50?
Just whatever spot they finished.
The spot they finished the year before, just one past that, so they wouldn't even have to sweat it out. Timmy, the last thing I have for you is, and you're literally, it's funny, when this podcast sports analyst beef between, you know, RG3 and Ryan Clark happened, that you were actually the first person I thought of, because I just wonder, and I'm not trying to age you here, before social media, like back in the day, did sportscasters, could you ever imagine, like, the beef that you see on social media between, like, the sportscasters, or did people just hate each other behind the scenes and just trash each other when they're off air? But they get on air, they're like, well, Bob, I'll tell you this much. I appreciate you being here.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, fast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
Well, trashing other broadcasters in newsrooms, that's been going on since the beginning of time.
True.
Okay? That's been going on for a long time. Listen, I've had some well-documented brouhahas with fellow broadcasters, but they were always broadcasters I knew and I liked. Mm-hmm. You know, they were never guys that I didn't respect. Okay? Paul Feinbaum is a friend of mine, and you know he and I have gone at it many times over several things. Including the SEC not going to 9 games and Sankey selling them a bill of goods for 3 years, all that. I think that was a couple of springs ago at the spring meetings in Destin when I launched my tirade on that, and Paul took umbrage to it. We've talked off the air several times, but I'm never going to be on his show again because I pissed off Greg Sankey. You know, he's in charge of what goes on that network. So I'm aware of that, and that's fine. But I like Paul, and I like other broadcasters. I think have always had friendly rivalries with one another, and particularly in newsrooms where guys are trying to get, carve a niche for themselves. You know, I remember when I was working at ESPN years and years ago, Dan Patrick had just come in from CNN, who's a great writer, and they had not started the quote-unquote big show yet. I was on my way, moving back to Louisiana, and but I think his second show was with me. And I knew from doing that first SportsCenter show and only SportsCenter show I ever did with Dan that he really took it seriously. I was never serious about my SportsCenter work. It was a means to an end for me. It gave me a full-time opportunity at ESPN, which I needed, gave me much-needed exposure. But I went there to do college football, college basketball, and make a name for myself to go to a bigger and better network. That's what I was doing at the time. Dan, SportsCenter was his baby, and he took it very seriously. And so you could tell that there were in those days, you could see that some of the originals, you know, whether and by the way, Boomer just had his 50th anniversary and got re-signed. So I'm happy for Chris. Mm. But there was resistance from some to Dan. I'm sure there was. And at the same time, some of the guys that were new, Chris Myers, who now works with me at Fox, is doing the Indy 500. I think there were times he and Dan kind of got sideways And I could tell they just, you know, the personalities didn't mix. But I could never imagine that at any point in time in those days, either one, or if I had been involved in a rivalry with someone, that I would have ever gone public.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Then you bring old boy's wife into it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I could never see Dan Patrick being like, well,
no, you
do know his wife, Delaney, but it just.
No, I mean, that's crazy. But so is this embrace debate crap that they're putting on every day. I mean, it's they don't talk about college football at all.
Nope.
Very little college basketball, except maybe during the NCAA tournament week, maybe Final Four week. They prefer either talking about Bronny and LeBron, LeBron and the Lakers, or Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, or what happened with Aaron with the Jets. And is Aaron really out there, or they're talking about, and this is another thing that always pops up, right? One host is, you know, more concerned with his run for the 28 presidency, and the other may be concerned about a sex tape that he's either made or is about to make. You know, that's what they talk about.
Yeah.
They talk about themselves. They talk about themselves, or they talk about other people that do what they do. And that's unfortunate. I'll be honest with you. I don't watch them, and so I don't know the essence of the
RG3 Ryan Clark thing.
I had admired Ryan as a young player at LSU, and he worked his way up to being an undrafted free agent when he played for Saban. And I'm sure he's worked really hard to get where he is, and that's fine. But you lose credibility when the criticism is always the same. And his is always the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's identity, sports, politics. Identity, sports, politics. That's what it is. And if you only have that narrative to run with, then you're going to lose, I think, a lot of credibility with quote-unquote sports people. There are times when they may do good work, but it's overshadowed by this three-ring circus that the embrace debate format brings. At some point, okay, you got so much out there that's really, really good. Like, I'll give you a classic example. Both ESPN and Fox right now are doing the UFL. I just did a game last week. First time I'd ever done a UFL game. And it was the first time I did a game in the studio. And, you know, I'm not big on that. But with this particular product, with all the bells and whistles they've got, I think it was fun. And I watched the Stallions and the Battle Hawks. And fellas, that league is a great developmental league. And with college football in the position that it's in right now, with all the movement with the portal and NIL, I think the NFL could be served very well if they continue to embrace, maybe even help the UFL a bit more, because you hear these guys, the pundits now, that really talk about the game on the field, and they're talking about how the lack of development at quarterback, the lack of development of this or that player, and yet he's a high draft pick. You know, you've got a league that you're invested in that is a television creation, and yet your daytime shows that are getting like 300,000 people watching, maybe 500,000 if maximum, they don't even want to promote it on their own network.
Yeah.
Why? Why wouldn't you invest some time?
No, look, I get it.
Yeah, I mean,
I get it.
Your betting arm is going nuts with it, right?
Yeah.
They've got, in the middle of a game, they've got someone from, you know, whoever the network is tied to talking about the odds for this team to win after one quarter of play. Why won't your data? Why not talk a little bit about Max Duggan was out of football in 24. The guy was runner up for the Heisman in 22 to Caleb Williams. There's a story there, right? Am I missing something?
You just got to want to look for it. But it seems like we got a lot of that lately.
There's something to be said about talking about the blanking games that you have, the people that are playing the games, and these shows that we're discussing where, you know, you have mud being thrown from one guy to the next, and it's just garbage. And it speaks so negatively of the people that are in our business, many of whom are really good people. But I gather they think that this is what sells.
Yep.
And the notoriety and the hits seemingly sell more than viewership, because viewership is down on all those shows. I've said it many times. Give me either a woman, or if you are so prefer, a man in leotards, the way we did it in the 80s, I would watch those daytime shows a hell of a lot more than the ones that are on right now.
Well said, Timmy B. I think that's a great spot to leave it. Please tell everybody, when are you doing your next UFL game? Is it this next weekend?
No. It was just a cameo. I just did the one game. I'm headed to the floor, Bama, baby.
Let's go.
I'm chasing golf balls and grandbabies. So, but I had a blast doing it. I got reunited with Joel Klatt and Jimmy Taft. And I'll make you a little prediction right now. If you do want to get involved in the UFL, Anthony Beck's Battlehawks, his son Rocco is the quarterback at Iowa State. He's got a ton of Iowa State teams, players on that team. Akeem Butler's one of them. Mike Rose, an old linebacker. They got several Iowa State guys on that team. I think they and Birmingham, okay, and the Stallions have used five different quarterbacks. Lou Holtz's son, Skip Holtz, is the king of spring. He's won three straight titles. He's going for a fourth. I think that right now, the two teams I had last week on Fox, they will play for the title on June the 8th in St. Louis for the UFL title. Mark that one down. You can say Brando said it's Battle Hawks and Stallions in a rematch, and I'll take Birmingham to win it all and get one for the pinky, one for the
dominating.
Four-peat.
We need to do some UFL.
Like the force that is Tim Brando. Timmy B, thank you so much, my friend.
Happy to be with you both. Happy Memorial Day to you and yours. And that means you too, Coney, wherever you are.
Yeah.
On the beach, the real, real beach.
Well, go have fun down there.
Drink a Bushwhacker for me.
Drink a Bushwhacker for me. We appreciate you guys being here. Make sure you hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Like the chances of me not being jealous about Timmy B being down playing golf at the beach. We're going. Go.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.